Well, what I'll do is I'll kind of set it up like in the intro, and then we'll just jump right into it.
Okay.
Because I used to do like, I'm sitting here with Brian in Studio One, and you do that enough and it just sounds lame. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear about a song or a record that kind of opened you up.
Well, this might be sort of a non-traditional sort of response, but when I think of why I started or how I started getting involved in playing music, I go all the way back in my mind to high school when I was burning for years to play and my family refused to let me have any rock instrumentation because of its satanic overtones.
So I'm guessing you grew up in a religious household?
Very.
Is that the,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Baptist, so it's very strict.
Was there any music at all in
there
the
was,
house?
And I certainly obviously love music, but starting from a very early age, I got all my music, not secretly, but just kind of on the down low off of the radio. I was like an insomniac even as a little kid, just recording. I'd have a cassette ghetto blaster up next to my head behind the pillow, and I had it on record with the pause engaged, and I'd wait for the song that I wanted to hear, and as soon as it played, I'd unpause it, and I'd make my own mixtapes that way.
You would do that late at night?
Yeah, that's
that
the
is
way.
Such a thing. How old are you?
Now?
Yeah.
I'm 40.
You're 40, so I'm 38, and I did the exact same thing, where you would put the tape in, and you would turn on your radio station, and then you would wait for the song.
And this is before, obviously, I was old enough to be a working teenager, so I didn't really have money, and...
Could you have gone out and bought that music?
Even if I had the money? No. No. And, I mean, some of it, yeah, because some of it was pop. I mean, as a kid, I loved everything. I would listen to New Kids on the Block on the radio. I'd listen to the rock stations, kind of whatever.
Yeah.
My family really only owned, my father's collection was mostly big band music and predominantly lame. I like big band music, but it was, you know, stuff that I would never listen to as a kid.
Like Glenn Campbell,
or Smothers Brothers, you know, stuff that was just not for me. And the good music that we had belonged to my mom. She had like the Eagles, and she would buy the occasional record for the kids, but my dad was dead set against it. In fact, at some point, he burned a bunch of the records.
Your mom's records?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty contentious.
That's intense.
And so I had to do a lot of it on the sly. And
did you play music?
Well, I played clarinet because I wasn't allowed to play the evil saxophone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Despite it having the exact same fingerings.
And it's like the same fingerings, and you have to do the same thing with your mouth. Uh-huh. So you're basically learning
it's
how to play
sexual,
saxophone.
It's just a sexual. But my father, I think he was just under the impression that sax was evil because it was the accompaniment to so much rock and roll in the 80s.
Well, he's definitely right that like sax would probably lead to...
And it sounds like sex?
Yeah, it sounds like sex. It's like will lead to iniquity. Yeah. Clarinet's probably not going to...
Yeah, he was worried that I would get involved in some kind of sax crime. I think in high school I started hanging out with friends who played because that was the only way I could be near instrumentation like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my friends were pretty well off and their families would buy them guitars if they wanted to. And and around 14 or 15 my friends started putting together bands. And I think it was when I was 16, my junior year of high school, I want to say, that some real good friends of mine put together a band. One of the bands was called Havoc Cow.
Oh, I would like to do just an entire show on first band names.
Yeah,
yeah. Havoc Cow.
But they would obviously just say Havoc Cow. And then some other friends were in a band called The Roasters. And I didn't know that The Toasters were a band and that's what they were. They used the same iconography and everything, you know, the same designs.
Yeah.
But they were The Roasters because of, you know, roasting a bowl, I guess. And they all, you know, could play pretty rudimentary grunge rock pretty well. And it blew my mind. And I had never seen anybody in my peer group play rock music before, and it totally broke my brain because I was like, this is actually possible. Like, these guys haven't been playing very long, and they're really, like, to my mind then, very good, and they're playing, you know, in these, like, classrooms in school after school, and they even played at some concerts, and it's like, so it was within maybe a year and a half of that I met Eric. And I got some of his demos and was astounded that he was playing this really advanced, quieter melodic music that I wasn't really into at the time, like more REM and 10,000
right.
Maniacs style. And it was so good. It really set me on a different direction, paying more attention to melody. And then I ended up playing in my first band as a bass player with Eric, who's the singer of Blitz and Trapper.
Whoa.
I was 18 and he was 16.
So it was actually like Eric's music that kind of like...
It was he was the first songwriter that I played for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's at 18 years old.
That's pretty incredible. So how did you like finally decide to make the leap, like to break away from what your parents were kind of putting down? Like, what was it, a thing, or was it just like this is so good, I just want to do this?
When I was 17, I started sneaking a guitar into the house and playing it on headphones so that nobody could hear me, you know, trying to learn Nirvana songs and stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually they saw it, obviously, heard it a little bit, and they were like, this has got to go. My dad had previously said if I brought an electric guitar in the house, he'd burn it. And he didn't. I called his bluff, and he backed off. And so I just kept it and started learning how to play that, got an acoustic, got a bass. Bass was my first instrument in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And then... yeah, it just kind of started to slowly snowball from there. And I would say as a side note, the other thing too, besides those bands that really inspired me, was seeing a high school production of Into the Woods, where all my peers were also doing this amazing musical.
Oh, really? Like, were they in the pit band or like on stage performing?
The actual actors.
Okay.
And acting is another thing that I do and that I've always been interested in. But it was seeing Into the Woods, seeing my peers do it and do it well. I thought that yeah. That really inspired me just to start performing and to get out of my shell.
So it was really coming across people who were your age,
mm-hmm.
who were doing what mm-hmm. you had this burning desire to do.
Yeah.
And like when you saw them doing it, it was like, wait a second. Like, if they can do it.
Yeah. Damn the consequences. I have to do this.
Wow. And it made you bold enough to stand up to your father, who... Sounds like you could be kind of a scary dude.
Well, it wasn't that he was scary. It was just invasive and lame. He's come around in the intervening years. I'm pretty sure he had a moment where he saw us playing Conan O'Brien and I didn't tell him that we were playing. He didn't know.
Oh, he just came across it?
We had stopped talking about music because it was such a point of contention.
Oh, wow.
And he was literally lying in bed at night and saw it was channel surfing and came across me playing drums on the Conan. And I think that it sort of shattered his preconceived notions that were pretty much religious. But I think also at the heart of it, I think he was just worried that I was setting myself up for a life of poverty, which I have, but that doesn't mean I'm unhappy.
I know. Well, that's the trade-off is you get to play music, yeah. which is like the beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I love that. You're the first person who's, maybe you're the second person who's kind of gone with like a peer thing. Hmm. Like, my friends inspired me. Do you have any of those early demos that Eric... Like, do you still have any of that early
music? I certainly do.
Music? Do you think you could send it to me so I could put it in the podcast if he was okay with it?
I could ask him, yeah.
That would be cool because it would be cool to hear, you know, what you heard and what kind of made you think, like, I want to...
I don't know that I have the actual cassette that he gave me that had the demos, but I have... the first record that band made, and a lot of those, there's like I think 6 or 7 songs on it, and some of those songs were the demoed in that cassette.
Yeah.
But I certainly have a ton of that stuff. It's like it's in a shoebox that's labeled the last cassettes on the earth.
The archive, yeah. And the last cassettes on the earth.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of old throwback stuff on there. So it'll be one day it'll be at least blackmail material or something.
Well, I really love that. I love the seeing. I mean, there is nothing more powerful than seeing other people do it.
I really is why I'm here, I think, doing what I'm doing.
Totally.
I needed somebody else to sort of pioneer the way for me.
Well, you have to know it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to know that it's a possibility. And I think so often, like, when we think of music and musicians, it's like super famous people who are way, way out of our reach, who it's hard to relate to,
mm-hmm.
but it's very easy to relate to, like,
yeah,
my friends up on stage or my friends playing in a classroom after school.
Yeah.
Like, this is a thing.
I think on a couple occasions with those gentlemen, I've tried to communicate to them over the years upon running into them, like, you don't realize how important it was that you did what you did, but it was really inspiring. And they're all just kind of shrugged it off, like, whatever.
Did they end up going into music? Any of them?
Some of them, not many, a couple. Yeah, my buddy Nathan plays, and he's a screaming shredder on the guitar, and he can kind of play anybody, and plays for lots of different people. All currently does a lot of touring still, and another guy, John, is on and off again in different bands, and so a couple of them have, as far as I know.
And maybe you can send him this podcast episode and be like, seriously, guys, real, here it is. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you coming in and talking. I can't wait to cut this together. So, cool. Thanks a lot.